It's my pleasure to introduce our first speaker, Rob Longman, who's a managing member at Longman and Grand Grack in Bethesda, Maryland. Rob is a council director for the ABA tax section and is a frequent panelist with the ABA. This presentation we're going to start out with could maybe be characterized as the end. And in recent years, a lot of practitioners and firms have been struggling with attracting talent and also dealing with how they're going to phase out. And so Rob is going to address this with buy-in, buy-out, and operational considerations for different forms of firms, which we think will be of interest to both you and for your clients. So, Rob, welcome.
Good morning. Let me start by apologizing. I'm not wearing a tie because that seems to be the one thing I forgot to put in my suitcase. So I'm glad I'm up here at least with everything else. Couple of disclosures real quick. I am not a Texas attorney. I practice in Bethesda, Maryland, so I cannot advise you on Texas law, and even if I say certain things, it may not apply to Texas law. So I just want to make that disclosure real quick. The other thing I want to do is offer a quick reminder that the Corporate Transparency Act, because we're talking about corporations and other businesses here, is going into effect January 1, and I'm not really going to be discussing that, but it's just a reminder that clients need to register with FinCEN. If they're already in operations by the end of 2024 or following the rules 30 days after certain changes or after filing in the new year. So let's go ahead and get started about buy-in, buy-outs, operational considerations, and professional practices in closely held businesses. Where I am in Maryland, probably about 6 months ago, we had a 60-person law firm completely up and close. No notice, just out of the blue, they shut down. I had a bunch of friends who worked there, but a lot of them were more senior. It was pretty surprising to me that firms of that size could just up and fold in one day. So really the idea is for professional practices, and you don't see as much planning. And this is from a small solo business to a single practitioner, whether it be a doctor or an attorney, to a CPA, up to larger firms. You have to look at the focus a little bit differently. When you're looking at it with a small single planner or a small single person, that person looks at their business and they may be bringing in $5 to $10 million a year. I know a dentist office where there's a single owner, had about 5 dentists working for them, about 8 hygienists, but based upon that, even though if he were to pass away one day out of the blue, there's nobody there to run that business because that person hadn't brought anybody in. So while that business could be valued at $5, $6 million, he passes away. What is that business now valued at? If everybody walks out the day after, you're selling your equipment and that's about it. So that was millions that could have been lost on that business had that person not brought somebody in. So let's talk about, certain things and where we start. We're going to start with structures of professional practices. Certain states require that a professional practice be called a PC, a professional corporation. I know in Maryland for years that was the rule. After the evolution of LLCs, they've now allowed corporations or other professions to be considered just an LLC and not have to be considered a professional corporation. Virginia, for example, does have a PLLC, which they require professional businesses to be, a professional limited liability company with a few different requirements and filings that are specific to those types of companies. So that's something to make sure that when you are setting up a business for any of your clients, for those of you who do that type of work, to be sure you're getting the right structure. You don't want to find out a year afterwards that it's in the wrong structure or in the wrong name and everything is, going to fold because of that reason. So make sure you're following your state restrictions when you're doing those filings. Common structures are for professional, if you have two professions in a practice, treating it sometimes as a partnership, and we'll talk about kind of the tax structures in a minute. specialty groups. These are groups that will focus on just one thing.